All right. I am recording at this point. So, welcome everybody to the Aries Bifold Users Group. Glad to have all of you joining today. Note that this is a Hyperledger call, so note the antitrust policy and the code of conduct, and start off with introductions. And so this is the second call. So we had introductions from a bunch of people last time. I figure today, if you are new or if you want to reintroduce yourself and kind of tell us about what your interest is in the Aries Bifold effort, we'd love to hear from you.
I don't know if I introduced myself last time, but I'm David Claussen with Indicio.
We're glad to have you, David.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I've gone ahead and pasted the link to this, so you feel free to add yourself to the attendees list. Announcements wise, there's the Rocket channel, and Timo's putting in the Aries Framework JavaScript calls, which are very relevant to this project. So I would look to attending those as well if you can. Those will be every Thursday at the time listed here. So thanks, Timo, for putting that in. Do you give a little bit of a recap? Yes, last time we had the call, we talked over some of the naming conventions and started getting into some of the goals for the project, and ran out of time on that effort. But we're excited to continue the discussions today. So on our agenda today, we have the want to go over a code review for the work that Indicio has been doing so far to try and merge Animo's efforts and Indicio's efforts, and then jump into some of the group's goals, and then take a look for what we need to do code contributions and next steps wise. Is there additions or revisions to this agenda that we should make? Awesome. So I guess to jump into the code review, to give kind of a update there, we've been working at Indicio to get to the point of having MVP state, so merging Indicio's UI efforts with Animo's agent pieces. And so that has been in progress. As of right now, we have got the ability to connect and issue credentials. We have been working hard on that effort. We achieved that yesterday. As of this morning, my environment has given me problems, or else I would show you that in process. So what I will plan on doing is I will post an APK and or further instructions in the Bifold Rocket chat probably later today or tomorrow, so that you can give that a walkthrough. But I figure we can take a little bit of a look at the code
James,
and
when you said you are able to connect and issue credentials, you're not actually issuing them from the Bifold wallet, you're receiving them. Is that correct?
Correct. That is an important clarification. We were able to receive the issuance of a credential. So part of why we put this on the forefront is so that code-wise, the we find that actually having the running code trumps having talking about the project in some ways. So jump into what we've done, and then I guess then move on to the some of the group goals, so that we can start outlining tasks for various people who are interested in the project to contribute. So let me switch over my screen share then. How's that look? You able to see that?
Yep.
Awesome. So this is just at the app.js level, and the thing I wanted to highlight was we have our various different routes and pieces to the UI that were already present. We have added a agent provider that is allowing us to set and create the agent and have that within the state. Additions need to be added here to tie the actual initialization of this into the PIN and biometric authentication. But this is definitely the right step in the right direction. We've configured this to utilize a .env file to allow you to specify the mediator as well as the Genesis URLs, and probably plan on putting additional configuration in here to help make the customizability easier. And we've tied this into, given the fact that we have a context provider, we have the state available from anywhere within the app. I guess to give additional context that I forgot to provide previously, since this is a React Native app effort, the code that I go over does kind of assume some familiarity with React Native. Trying to keep it high level so that it's valuable to everybody present on the call, but I figure taking a look at what we've been working on is helpful. Questions on what I've been talking about so far, or clarifications?
So you said it was super close to running, but not quite yet. Is that the state?
So
did I read that correctly?
It was running as of 2 hours earlier this morning, and then I messed up my environment. So should be running at this point, and you should be able to run it and check it out, and it should be able to work with issuance. So mostly a demo woes on a for a call.
Totally. Okay, awesome.
We've got it working also on iOS. The we ran into a bug that David is actively pursuing on the iOS front. So, but that is basically also on par with Android. So that is quite exciting. So right now our goals have been to just do a MVP, so get to the minimal point of having a to connect, issue, or receive an issuance, and then do a presentation of a credential and utilizing the existing UI. So we've just tied in the functionality that you, Timo, and Kareem have put together for the some of the view pieces that you had. So for instance, we are hooking in our credentials list, we are adding event listeners for the credential event type state changed, and then displaying that appropriately. We've transitioned the app over to utilizing TypeScript, although we haven't fleshed out all of the types, so there's that's an ongoing effort.
So this is the former Indicio UI on top of the Animo library, is that correct?
Yes. So the way we went about doing that is utilizing Indicio's repo. We stripped out any of our under the hood agent functionality pieces and duplicated the functionality that Animo had in their efforts. That clarifying to what we're doing there? Cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a sense of which pieces you had pulled together, and it sounds like you're nearly complete on integrating the Indicio contributed front end with the Animo contributed library. And both on iOS and Android.
Yes, I think something I'm interested in talking about with Timo is the mediator functionality and where that's going and where that's at. We've had some difficulties with that as of right now and want to kind of coordinate what that effort should look like and such. That might be belong better in the Aries Framework JavaScript side of things, but I figured it's worthwhile bringing up. So,
yeah, I think it's good to look at the requirements, like from when what you're now building, what the main like missing pieces are in Aries Framework JavaScript, so we can focus on those.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So from a code perspective, I can dig in further, show what we've done. However, to best utilize our time, moving further into the agenda might be helpful unless there are things that you are particularly interested in looking at right now on the call. Okay. Well, I think that if we can move to...
Is this code checked in so that if anybody wants to dig into it, they can go see it?
Yes, this is currently what is on main. I figure we will post release soon with an APK, so that will allow us to allow easier testing of the functionality we've created so far and try and go to a more iterative release process. So last time we kind of had some conversation on what the group goals were. I think that fully further fleshing this out in terms of the short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals would be quite helpful for determining what our next steps are and consolidate our efforts and make sure we're on the same page as where the community is going to take this project. So this is where I'd like to open it up to the community to say to everyone on the call, what are some things that you would like to see in the project, short-term, medium-term, or long-term?
I think short-term, of course, like the basic functionality, I think those are already almost in place, like issue credential, present proof, creating connections. I think those are the basics. And then to add to that, I think for issue credential, present proof, supporting revocation, I think that's a good good one to have for the basic flow.
Agreed.
A short-term desire of mine, this may be really close, I don't know, but I'd love to, you know, be able to do a demo where two people install the app and then can connect to each other and send each other a basic message. I think that that would be a nice short-term goal.
Agreed. I think that is important to have this be working with actual people and try and actually move it towards that. One of the things I want to look at, and I partially mentioned this previously, was the mediation. This is a somewhat under the hood thing. However, utilizing the Coordinate mediation protocol with WebSockets, being able to do that, I think, will help makes for some more reliable mediation capabilities, and or there may be just some addressing of issues that we've seen so far with mediation. I think that they're having some discussion on this and or digging into that would be good from my point of view.
I have two ideas. I don't know whether to stick them in medium or long-term goals, but I would love to have this code base be a place to demonstrate, maybe is the right word, import-export functionality, which kind of overlaps heavily with backup and restore. So that's one of them. The other one is... and now I forget the other one. I'll shut up for a minute. It'll come back. But anyway, the backup and restore import export thing, I think would be a great way to do that.
I agree. This is to me, that's a very important thing.
I've remembered. I think it could be really useful with this code base to do the same sort of demonstration level capability. And by demonstrate, I mean, we need to talk about this generally in the community about sort of to coordinate with everyone, but having a code base where we can actually affect that directly, I think is exciting. The other one, in addition to the backup restore and import export is like logging into a website. Like what's the right way to make that happen? What types of things are we supporting there? OIDC, is there something else that we want to support? But I think that having an open source mobile app that's capable of logging into a website in some way is a great idea.
Is this
I don't know whether either of those are medium or long term goals. somewhere in between there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that was my question. Is I was like, I'm not sure if this is a medium term or a long term. That's what I lean towards. Thought process wise, Nathan, you have a thought.
Yeah, I think the other one that I don't know if it's medium or long term is we need to make sure that the introduction protocol that resolves to a web link and gets you to download the app works in a cross app fashion. I know there's been some work on this in the standards in the past, but there's more to do there to make sure that we've got it all covered properly and it's actually implemented the way we wanted.
Do you think that's a short term or a more medium term goal?
Well, in order to get people to download the app and have it correctly installed in the first place, you have to go through an introduction protocol. So I don't think it's a long term. I think it also feels like getting through the basic agent messaging functionality is more important than this. So I think it's definitely not as short term as anything you have currently in the list. So, you know, medium term somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I second medium term in that.
Awesome. I think that is a very important factor. So thank you for bringing that up. Ken, did you have a idea?
Yeah, we talk about interoperability, but I think we should also put in something about our work with the like test harness or the interoperability testing that's already, you know, existing. How do we tie into that, or do we need to create something of our own to test mobile agents?
I think that's a very important consideration. And I partially want to draw and ask Timo on this, because one of my thoughts there is, if we're relying on Aries Framework JavaScript, can we rely on that for our agent harness connection, or would it be valuable to have those two be separate?
I think the it provides a lot of basic functionality for interoperability. So I would say for now, we have a really good way to test interoperability. Long term is, and that's also what they're looking now in the test harness, is to also be able to test mobile wallets. And I think the first approach they're going to do is create a manual back channel. So you have a person be the back channel, and you will be instructed on the actions you will need to be done, and the other side will be automated to keep it like easy for now. But yep. But for short term, I think we have a really good coverage with this Aries Framework JavaScript.
Cool. I'm going to list it because it's important.
Timo, I think it would be instructive to write a very brief README to put in the repo that says that's this testing strategy that we're going to propose. I think that's, I think it's a good strategy, but I think it would be useful to tell people kind of what you were thinking there.
Yeah, sure.
I think that a good long-term strategy along the vein would be to replace the manual back channel with an automated one. The reason I think that's a good long-term one is that there's likely to be some churn as we figure out what the UI looks like, having a manual back channel means that it's painful, but possible to test earlier than that. Once it's settled a little more, then I think the automated back channel would be a nice addition.
Awesome.
And for the medium term, I would like at least multi-ledger support, but I think a feature the Lissy app includes, like automatically detects for credentials which ledger it's using, so you don't have to manually select it, but it will like automate it. And I think that's a cool feature.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think when I saw that they had that capability, it was very, from a user point of view, very intuitive, because it just worked.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think a good medium-term goal that it probably extends into long-term is focus on the UI and the UX of this thing. Make sure that it works well and that it's understandable. And that's, I think that's important. It's great that it can mechanically do things, but yeah.
I would like to add to that having widget toolkits and common patterns around how you deal with selective disclosure of numbers, how you deal with calendar dates, how you deal with selecting which credential you're going to use to fulfill a particular proof request. Having a building block of those tools will be really helpful. I think where we're going to end up is we're going to end up with some sort of non-programming language specific language for describing extensions and, you know, data exchange use cases. We've delved a little bit into that in terms of protocol descriptions and protocol specifications in the standardization process. But I think it's going to be very common that you're going to have an app that's going to suddenly run into, say, information sharing for buying train tickets, or information sharing for getting into a taxi or using a ride sharing service that your app hasn't encountered before, and having data description languages to let you display, these are the fields they want, this is what's going to happen with this data, is going to be a kind of a common problem we have to solve across the different apps that have been built in the community.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. And that actually brings that one of my goals that kind of goes along that line of thinking is having the capability of having, maybe it's a separate thing, but composability or UI composability, so that I can't type and talk at the same time. essentially being able to either clone and duplicate the, or white label the app. So I think that's a short term goal, is to be able to clone and white label the Aries Bifold app. And, but then a longer term goal is to do, have it composed in a way you can grab just the specific components that you need, that you can utilize in a existing React Native app, if that makes any sense.
Makes a lot of sense. I think another one is kind of in that same category of reusability, but is a bit of a departure, and I think fills into the long-term category, is how do we make it so that you can have multiple apps on the same phone. We already have enable an app to collaborate via protocols with wallets in the group goals. I think there's definitely one wallet with 4 or 5 apps that are talking to the same wallet on the same phone.
Mm-hmm. I think that partially has that's a conversation for some Aries or the protocol level. How does this work? And then how does this work from a mobile perspective, right? Kareem, you have a thought?
Nope.
I'm unsure if this is covered by the mediation coordination stuff, but, and I'm unsure in which category to place it, but what I'd like to see is right now, at least in Aries Framework JavaScript, you have to when you run the app, give tell them which mediator you will use. And I'd like to add, remove, activate, deactivate them at runtime if possible.
Is that to have the capabilities of having multiple mediators?
Not necessarily activated at the same time, but at least the capability to, when you have the app on your phone, to add a new one and maybe switch to another one when one goes offline or something like that.
I definitely like the idea of switching. I might put that as a medium-term mediation goal, but the ability to switch from one mediator to another mediator and then do the associated relationship management pieces, I think would be super valuable.
I agree. This might be a medium-term thing, but it might also fit well with the short-term work, just to push it in with that. So I'm not sure on that though. So, did you have a thought, Sam, on the previous point?
This is a bit of a meta comment. I'm noticing a handful of topics that we want in this app that also need to be discussed with other mobile app code bases. And my suggestion there is that those are topics to suggest or organize in the main call. And that way there's involvement from across lots of different code bases and ideas. So be able to punt some of these things up to the larger community saying, hey, we're trying to solve this problem. Who has worked on this? Let's have a discussion about the right approach here, I think would be a great organizing effort. And then we can come back and apply them in this code base.
Agreed.
And the organizers of that call are always looking for topics to discuss. So
I like that double pronged approach on making it so we do the topics in both forums. I would also add to that the comments about being code first are really well taken. And I think no one should feel bad or hesitate to give something a shot before it's been discussed. Because if we have some code examples, or if you guys know you need it and you've got a code, if someone's tried to code it up, even if it's not done, it's just kind of a prototype or an experiment, that can really root us in the right thing. And I think the cross app wallet app effort, or the other one that I was hoping to put on long-term mobile specific communication transports like Bluetooth and NFC, are things that I'm hoping somebody here wants to try. And if we can come to those specification discussions with a prototype, or better yet with an implementation, we won't have to thrash as much on the details of what should or shouldn't be, because we'll have better grounding what libraries actually can help us do.
Exactly. Starting with even if it's a first rough draft implementation, that can be a really good launching point for actually refining what that looks like. On the Bluetooth note, I know, so Indicio has been doing some work with a client to do some Bluetooth pieces. So this may actually end up moving into a shorter term, medium term goal of something that can get contributed back. So just to put that on your radar since you brought it up.
Yeah, we're also doing some Bluetooth stuff. I'm not sure what the timeline will be, but that will definitely help with that to get it into this app.
Awesome. We should, that may be worthwhile having a conversation on so there's less duplication of efforts there. Awesome. One that I think it belongs on the long term is the mobile custodial that was weird. It like removed my line change. It was weird. So mobile custodial control from mobile app. I might have phrased that wrong, but controlling a custodial wallet, multi-tenanted custodial wallet from the mobile app. Maybe there's refinement or additional stuff that goes with this. Thought, Sam, you might be able to put this into better words than I have here.
Well, no. The idea there is that if the user has a mobile agent in the cloud, we've seen a number of people design it so that the user's cloud agent is their primary agent, and then they just have views into it for mobile app stuff. This is perhaps the simple alternatives to end up in a multi-device scenario, because the source of truth is actually the user's cloud agent there. And this could, I think, be a precursor to better synchronization stuff between multiple agents that the user has, which also I think could end up as a long-term goal. I don't know whether that it's actually worth trying to accommodate it inside of the same code base or a different code base. I don't know. I don't think I know enough to have an opinion there.
Do you think that, so if this is the first bit that leads into synchronization between wallets, is this a Aries conversation of how the synchronization of that kind of thing takes place?
Well, anything that isn't super well documented is kind of an Aries level conversation. Not that we can't try stuff, but the goal of this is to be compatible with the better world, the larger world, right? So yep. Anything that isn't super fixed out, I think we can have on our roadmap, and that will drive conversations in the larger group about how this ought to be done and who else wants to collaborate on it, right? So stuff mm-hmm. where like I know that the Bluetooth work that Timo has worked on is fairly well defined. So at that point, it's a little bit more of there may be some things to iron out, but it's mostly an implementation issue, not really a figuring out what to do issue. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance there. If stuff is already super defined, it's just building the code. If stuff isn't defined, but we still want to build the code, there's two conversations to have. One is the larger approach. The second one is the let's put it into code. Having informing the larger conversations with code is useful. And so one of the things that this is a meta goal I have for this project, but it's the ability to have a code base to create a fork of, and then try something to see how it works, and then be able to present sort of your fork as an experiment to the larger community. Say, I did a thing and here's how it works. Here's my findings. And then if we like it, it gets merged. If there's more refinement or we decide that that's a bad direction, then that could be dropped. But it basically provides a working whiteboard, a functional whiteboard, if you will, against which to try mobile concepts. So mm-hmm. that doesn't need to be really written down, but that's, I love that concept of having a code base like this, is that you could have a foundation with which to experiment on stuff, even if you're not sure it's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have something that I'd like to add on that's very related to that. And that is, we tend to think a lot about testing from a compatibility perspective, meaning product A versus product B, and trying to make it so that, you know, we can all integrate our stuff together in a broader ecosystem and not, you know, step on each other's toes, because you know, the network effect of the protocol is really the core advantage and value we have. But the other piece that we can't forget is we also need to be able to test against ourselves over time. So being able to do things like run a test against the Bluetooth protocol with the version week that Timo comes up with and says this is good to standardize, and then being able to go back and run against ourselves, you know, with version 2 or version 3 or version 4 and show that the protocol is not broken and things continue to function is going to be really important. So when we think about this compliance testing, let's not lose sight of the idea that that testing against the same product but a different release or revision of that product is going to be really important, especially for folks like us with Kiva, where we're working in the developed world. It's going to take a while for some of this tech to get all the way out to the edges. And we want to make sure that those people are not marginalized or, you know, kept out of the system because they can't keep up.
Mm-hmm. That's thank you for that point. It's very, very valid. So.
This is like a really good looking collection of goals, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one that's come up in other, in some conversations is the not tying to indie specifically. So allowing us to be able to utilize other credential formats.
This is an extension of that. I like the concept. We've kind of developed this thing where you have an agent that's tied to a ledger because of the credential implementations. I would like to come up with an architecture where the agent can just be the agent, and then it can lean upon various other ledger services for verification, et cetera. And that's a bit of a, that's both a mental concept, but perhaps will influence the architecture of the software in that you can actually run it with no ledger. And then you can add it to you can connect to or somehow gain access to ledgers based on your need to do so. So for example, if I'm going to, you know, connect to another party and, using perhaps peer DIDs and then send a basic message, then the agent doesn't actually need to have a configured ledger at all because there's nothing ledgerish about that. Or the agent can have connections to three different kind of ledgers as a resource type of a thing. And so I'd love to decouple it from the concept that we have to tell the build what ledger it's pointed to because otherwise it can't do this stuff. So I'd love to split that from a software architectural piece. And maybe that can be somewhat runtime, meaning the connection to it, maybe it needs to understand indie ledgers, but the connection to any individual ledger is something that can come up or be managed in at runtime rather than built in at design time.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was like way too many words.
I think I got them all down.
Yeah, it's a lot like browser certificate configuration. Most people will never mess with it, but you need it when you need it.
That's a really good analogy there, Nathan. Like, and not having to like recompile to solve that problem is I think what I'm getting after, right?
Awesome. Medium term
goal. In addition to the ledger services and also non-indie credential types is like support for the newer version of protocols. With the Airwise community.
I missed that last bit that you said. Could you repeat?
To keep moving like with the progress of the Airwise community when new protocols arise, because we currently only support like the first iteration of most protocols, and the second iteration of protocols are mostly defined now. So we also support the newer protocols.
Hmm. I agree with that. So do you think one of my thoughts is we could put the support newer proto, like the support what we're not now, and then have a long-term goal to continual support or continual AIP implementation. Is that a good way to split that up, do you think?
Yeah.
Cool. I agree with that. That's important. One of my goals, and I think this is somewhat a medium-term goal, is working on machine-readable governance frameworks. And I think this has multiple layers, and one of the most important for this project, I think, is the UI UX that is related to machine-readable governance frameworks. Because I think there's a lot we can explore with this that will make things more usable or better. And that actually, I think, can help potentially tie into your decoupling story, Sam, here.
Yes, I think so. Like, I think you just thought of something that's brilliant, and that's you could actually reference the ledger in the governance framework, which is awesome. I hadn't thought of that before. That's a really great idea.
I sometimes come up with good ideas. Well, this is looking like a really good list. Is there anything else that we want to add here in the on this call? We can further expand this as we go along. Is there any other things that is important to people to add to this?
Well, I don't really have a goal, but I'm more of a question. So maybe I'll postpone it that to after we're done with the calls or the goals. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I'll throw one more out. I know Horatio on my team has been working on SVG credential rendering. So kind of the UI part of how do we show a credential so that it looks like the credential it's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. That might be an interesting medium term goal.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's giving the capability or having the option of that capability is would be really cool. Ken.
It might be interesting to put people who are interested in working on the short-term goals. It might take too long to go through all of them, but at least the short-term goals, if there are people who are interested in working on a particular thing, they could volunteer their name there to participate.
I really like that.
I don't think it turns into a one name, one feature kind of thing. It's people who are interested in either writing code, reviewing code, testing code, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be useful. The other thought that I had was that after the React Native repo is moved to Hyperledger, which is later on the agenda, we could use the features in GitHub to organize some of these things as well. There's a number of GitHub repo features that would be useful there, I think.
That was one of my thoughts, is if we can kind of take some of these short-term goals and translate them into tasks that can then be assigned. I think that will be helpful for coordinating the work. But we can also, we could break it out here. I feel like
so
Time-wise, we have 12 minutes left. I think we can always apply names in the future to this. This has been a super constructive effort. I don't know how far we'll get in 12 minutes.
Agreed.
Let's just move on to the next topic.
Well, let's, Krim, you had a question that was you wanted to put off.
Yeah, I think it has been mentioned about half a minute ago, but I was just wondering at what point, like feature-wise or time-wise, you're planning to move the repository to Hyperledger.
You have moved right into the next conversation. This
perfect.
Is
perfect. Great. Super.
My thought here is, given that we have the capability of doing connections and issuance, and we're kind of settling as a community around some of what this project looks like structure-wise, I would like to move this very soon. And I think that includes both Indicio's app, and then as well as I'm not sure who and or what the effort is with the RN Indie SDK moving that over as well.
I asked Jakub, he works for EPSA, if it's possible, and he thinks it's possible, and he would I will ask him tomorrow again at the Ericsson JavaScript call, but I asked him already.
So can I ask a couple of questions?
For sure.
Are there any licensing concerns with LGPL or non Apache 2 licenses in the code base?
Go ahead. Or like all together, all the repos that we're contributing.
Yes.
I'm not aware.
Or legally competent type of question. It's just, do we think there are any troubles? I'm pretty sure the answer is no. The next question I have is there any major restructuring or reorganization that you think has to occur in the existing repositories before, meaning will the new repositories have to have a very different structure than the current ones, or is it mostly just moving over what we've already got?
Moving what we already got, I think.
Yes.
For the RN Indie SDK, at least.
So of all the people on the call, I know there's a bunch of maintainers on the call. Do any maintainers have any objection to creating the repos and doing the move?
I don't have any objections. Yeah.
My feeling with that silence is that you have all the permission you need. The faster you move, the better, because it puts you under all the code contribution, you know, processes at the Linux Foundation and all those other good things. So my encouragement would be ask for forgiveness instead of permission with the folks on this call who are on the list that I'm seeing, the attendees that had silence equals consent, as far as I'm concerned. And with the approval that we got in the meeting we had 2 weeks ago and in the associated areas meetings, I don't think there's any reason to wait unless there's some, you know, it makes your life easier reason to wait.
Nathan,
do you think that we need to do a quick review of licenses in the repos before we move, or can we move and if there's a problem, rectify it?
You can do that review as you do the move, it's good to ask that question up front, because if you know of some obvious thing, like the framework we're depending on is all LGPL, it might be better to take care of that before we move it.
The framework is already part of the Hyperledger organization and GitHub.
I shouldn't have used the word framework. I mean, like the mobile app development libraries we use or something like that.
Okay. Sorry.
And we could do a quick scan for like all the dependencies that are used in all the libraries to see for licenses and that things.
James, well, do we have a license?
We're not declaring a 1.0, so you know it's okay if there are some problems. And there are some code scan tools. Rye would be the best one to ask to see which ones he's using currently. Just a rocket chat message to him saying, or just go look in the Hyperledger repositories. All of his tools are checked in there.
So we'll move and then we'll request a review using those tools. But I think that we're from the Indicio side, I think we've been careful And unless we miss something, it should be clean. And I think probably the same thing is true for you, Timo.
I actually believe we have DCO sign off in place for the repo already.
That is true.
That makes it easier to move. Do we have a license file in the repo?
We currently do. I believe it is, we actually went with the Apache 2.0. So following what was in the other repos, such as like a Akapai to mimic what they had done.
Yeah, so there should be no technical problems moving that. Rai is the one to reach out to, and he will help to move that actual repo. If it's like this, we can just move it without doing anything hinky, which is really nice.
Awesome.
I have just checked Arn in the SDK and has an Apache 2.0 as well. So
awesome. Well, I think that kind of outlines what the steps are for moving it. I think we're good to move it. I will take a look at the license side on the Aries Mobile Agent React Native repo, and then talk with Ryan getting that side moved, and we'll talk with Yakub tomorrow on the Aries Framework JavaScript call for our Indy SDK. Ken and or Nathan, did you guys have thoughts, or were those from previous topics that got covered?
Sorry about that.
No worries. You
know. Awesome. Well, that is everything that I have on the agenda today. Is there things that would be good to talk about or cover today in our last 5 minutes? All right. Well, this has been very productive. Thank you for attending and contributing. I am very excited about this list and the work going forward. So thank you. And we will continue working offline and updating on the Rocket Chat channel. And we will see you at the Aries Framework JavaScript call and in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks all.
Cheers. Cheers, guys.